How many of you have heard of Georges Rouault? The back row and the front row and nobody in between. And you don't count. That's my boy. He's my crazy friends are also his crazy friends. We started out about a month ago talking about crazy friends of a very familiar nature, people whose names would ring a bell right off the bat. And the last time we talked about a crazy friend that virtually nobody had ever heard of, Gizelbertus. And this time it's sort of a crazy friend that nobody or very few people have heard of, but which, like all my crazy friends, I wish more people knew about. And this is Georges Rouault. The reason, like in the case of Gizelbertus, why people don't know too much about him is that they have problems with the name. Like R-O-U-A-U-L-T. That was always a quiz question. How do you spell Georges' last name? And when you got a complicated name, it sort of sets you back in the whole history of art. You get relegated to the bottom drawer of artists. So Gizelbertus is down there somewhere, and Kemmerer will probably be keeping him company. I love it, and I'm not going to change it for anything. But at any rate, Rouault. Maybe I should preface some things, because Rouault is heavy. Rouault is not crazy in the, well, none of these people are in the traditional sense of the word, thank goodness, but in a sense, he is very straight and very heavy. Rouault is very, oh, this is going to be a hard word to come up with without leaving some kind of bad vibes. Rouault is very religious. Does that put him down a peg or two in anybody's book? I don't know. If somebody introduced me to one of their friends and says, I'd like you to meet Sarah, she's very religious. I'm not so sure I'd like to meet Sarah. What's more, I don't think she'd like to meet me. So I don't know. Religious is not exactly the right word. But all the other words are just as bad. Pious? Well, I think I'd rather Sarah be religious than pious, but pious is a good word. There's nothing wrong with piety, except it sometimes comes off sounding sort of pharisaical. It's hard for a person to be pious without being a hypocrite. And it's sort of the way we describe religious people in general. Them and their piety, you know. And that's not fair. Rouault took himself, his work, and his faith very seriously. Very seriously. But in his particular case, it caused him to come up with some very unique combinations. His work can be called Christian. Does that raise any images in the back of your head? Christian art? Do you have a feeling what that looks like? I am a bit of a muckraker when it comes to Christian art. I cannot stand Christian art. I just cannot stand it. I think Christian art is probably today the worst art that is being turned out on the art market. And I think the same thing about Christian music. Oh, I can't stand Christian music. Christian movies? Anybody seen a good Christian movie lately? You know, they're probably not really worth seeing. They're really cornball. Christian television? Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I represent the Missouri Synod. I won't tell you which Missouri Synod I represent, but that's my roots. And we have a TV program called This Is the Life. Anybody ever see This Is the Life? Oh, yeah, used to, yeah. You know how to hurt a guy. But that's about right. That's about right. It's really something you want to eat with oatmeal. You know, this is the life. It goes down the same tube. You don't have to chew it. You just gum it, and it, you know? And I think most religious art is that way. Bearded ladies for Jesus, you know, these poor hermaphrodites that float 6 inches off the ground. You ever seen a good Christian film strip? Oh, that is Pit City. That is absolutely the worst. This guy changes his outfit after every frame. It's like each frame he does something with this, you know, I talked to you about the gesture of saints. He assumes that saint's gesture, like, you know, he's always walking around like this. And after every time, you know, it's almost like he's afraid to show his armpits. And so the next time, he changes his whole costume so that there's no offensive stuff going on there. And his hair. You look at one of those cathedral film strips, and he's got a new hairdo in each frame, after each one. And he's always in white. Always in white. All the other guys are in all different colors, but he is in white. And it is just absurd. It just is not, it is not to be believed. Some people get the impression that if you can make it religious, then it will be art. In order to have Christian art, though, you gotta start with art. And the art starts from the inside? Well, I'm always a bad example of body stuff, but that's where it's got to begin, and that's where the Christian is. You do not make Christian art by making Jesus pictures all over the place. Any more than everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who paints, Lord, Lord, is painting, Lord, Lord. But is probably painting the market, the market. Ha, 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 ha. And it's a big one. It's a big one. So we get out our paints, and we do bearded ladies, and we put those neon platters behind their heads. And the latest thing, of course, is to make them smile. Remember, there used to be a time when he used to be very... Skip it. The day Jesus comes out with a hair lip, we are in trouble, you know. I just can't make it, but you get the picture? It has got to be that sort of look, because there is a market, but it used to be very severe. And now, he's got dimples. Have you noticed? And he's smiling. Not only is he smiling, but he is at a table. I wish I had a table so I could be Jesus here for you. And he is... It's Jesus Christ, our great non-directive counselor. Okay? You say you got a problem. Yes, I got a problem. I can't believe. You say you can't believe. That's what I said. I can't believe. I have trouble believing in you. You say you have trouble believing in me. Yeah. This guy will say whatever you say, you know? And you got that little smile. I'm sure I'm talking to a couple non-directive counselors, and I'm going to be in big trouble after this. My father says I was born with a silver foot in my mouth, but but you understand what I'm saying? That we are, if we are going to talk about Christian art, we are going to talk about art. You cannot have Christian art unless you got art. You can't have just Jesus and no art in order to make it Christian art. And you can't have really great art and no Jesus and still have it become Christian art. I don't believe that either. In fact, I guess I don't believe there is any such thing as Christian art. I guess I just wiped the whole course right off the map. I'm going to have to go back to Valpo and change the curriculum. Christian Art 101, Section A. I think I'll do that. It just dawned on me just now. What do we mean by Christian? Jesus Christ in the middle. Can you imagine a translation where two or three paintings are gathered in my name? There am I in the midst. Where two or three altars are gathered in my name. Where two or three stained glass windows are gathered in my name. There am I in the midst. None of those things. Where two or three of us are gathered in his name. There he is in the middle. That is the Christness. Now, if we can look at a work of art as the extension of a person, of a person's belief, of how a person talks, of how a person feels, about the hope that is in him, about all the things that he knows and wants to share about the life of Christ and what that means. And we can take those things and say either amen or, what do you mean by this, Georges Rouault? What is it you're trying to say when you paint Jesus one day and a whore the next? How can you, are you going from sacred one day to secular the next? Are you going from good one day to bad the next? How do you get those two things coming out of one image-making machine and call yourself a Christian artist? Well, we got to understand some things, I guess, about Jesus and the nature of the people he dealt with. And I think as we look at Rouault, we're going to look at some hard stuff, folks. A lot of it just ain't pretty. I remember doing a cover for the Lutheran Witness a couple years ago. And a pastor from Detroit, it was a crucifixion, and a pastor from Detroit wrote me a letter saying, do you realize that the crucifixion was the perfect sacrifice? And being the perfect sacrifice, it was beautiful. Do you realize that Jesus Christ was 5'11½ inches tall, weighed 155 pounds, had hair down slightly over his ears, had dark brown eyes, and he gave me the whole list of stuff. Anything less than that, he said, is imperfection. And you have blasphemed. Any comment? Oh, now come on. No. Hey, no. That man needs help, and I ain't gonna do it. But what is the answer to that? What is the answer to the perfect sacrifice of God as far as people saying, contending, I grew up really thinking that Yahweh spoke German, you know? And you believed he spoke, whatever, Swedish, Danish. Is there an Italian in the crowd? But you know what I mean? One pope not too long ago said if we were all pigs, Jesus would have to be a pig. Is that scary? I said something the other day that caused more rankle among you, that got more discussion from you about the little baby on Jesus, on Mary's lap, wetting his pants. Oh, some of you, up to that point, never really considered the possibility. And I was simply talking about true man. Who but true God could have done that? Not taking his Godhead away. Who but God could have designed that kind of little creature? God wetting his pants. God burping. God getting hungry. God starving. God dying. All those things. God associating with clowns, prostitutes, money changers, all the dregs, all of the us stuff. That's where he did his business. And Rawl, in deep, pious Catholicism, says, in order to be about the Christ business, I'm going to have to paint all of the things about Christ. The clown, the whore, the politician, all of those people, and I will stick him in the midst. Okay? And that's what we're going to see. Born in 1871, for you historians, died in 1958. 1958, not too long ago. If you want isms, Rawl epitomizes expressionism. Comes out of things in France that have to do with the war and Freud and more war. All kinds of misgivings about the validity of your own way of operating by yourself, Nietzsche stuff, all kinds of aloneness and isolation. And Rawl says, Jesus, you're in here somewhere. And that makes him crazy.
Early painting. Early painting winds up looking very, very black and dark. And it wasn't too long after he got into the art business that he decided what he'd like to do is maybe mess around with stained glass. And working in a stained glass manufacturing studio, Rawl learned the value of black, the lead lines that hold the color together. And from that point on, you see an awful lot of black in Rawl. Sometimes he draws with it. This is a picture of a quarry. And there's a detail of the city in the background of the quarry. Look how he puts paint on. It's almost like with a trowel. Very heavy. There's lots of texture, lots of motion with his brush. Because of the experience in the stained glass place, he got to working on religious themes, and that carried over into his own painting. And here's an early painting of Jesus with the elders in the temple. Now you see the elder in the middle. You have Jesus on the right, a kind of elder with a Milwaukee goiter on the left, and a typical elder. And in the middle, a very dark, swarthy man who is gesturing. Look at the little area above this. This is a small painting, and you'll see little hints
of Rouault's early concern, he's only about 20 when he painted this, early concerns with mysticism and theology as a combination. There's something very strange going on over the head of the middle elder. And that's what it is. Yahweh. Yahweh. Rouault could get away with this. It's a painting of a Jewish scene, but Rouault was Roman Catholic. So it was not against his theology to do a painting of Yahweh any more than it was against Michelangelo's. So he did it with guardian angels on either side. And it's one of the strangest images of God the Father that we have in art history. This mysticism and this dark, brooding light becomes very important to Rouault. Emanations. I love the combinations. The middle elder looks black, African. You see the herky-jerky line, like on the lap of that elder? That marks very traditional, or typical rather, Rouault style. Line moving all over everything. And big, heavy, blocky color surrounded by black. One of his early paintings called The Ordeal of Samson. So he was getting into theological subject matter right away. The Via Dolorosa. And this is an unusual Rouault because there is almost no black, and where there is, it's the halo. It's like the whole painting is gold except the halo, and you would expect it to be the reverse, that the whole painting would be dark and broody and the halo would be gold and light would come from it. Rouault was talking at this particular time in symbolic language and making reference to the Eli, Eli, Lama, Sabachthani, the God, my God, why have you forsaken me? The divinity of Christ, not doing him any value here whatsoever, the separation between him and the Father. Rouault is starting a long career of brooding. Isn't that interesting? And look at how the paint is put on. It's like syrup. It flows. It's gooey. It's like amber running. Rouault was a remarkable colorist. His color always holds a lot of light coming from the other side of the canvas or the paper. It almost seems like the black is like a grill, and light is coming through the grill. It wasn't too long after that painting of the Via Dolorosa that Rouault established his style that he was going to use for the rest of his life with variations in color. And this is it. Heavy, heavy black line. This is a portrait of Verlaine, the Paris art dealer who bought Rouault's paintings, bought paintings of all of the unknowns at that time and became a very dear friend of struggling young artists. As a result, Verlaine had probably the most impressive collection of self-portraits of anybody in the world. That's the way the artist would pay him in return for his assistance. But look at Rouault puts a Madonna and child against the back wall of this self-portrait, of this portrait of Verlaine. So even here, the commission for a self-portrait does not prevent him from sticking in some kind of ecclesiastical motif. And right away, he affiliates with the clowns. The clown for Rouault becomes almost a symbol of Christ. Not too long ago, there was a movie made, a kind of parable movie. I thought it was excellent, about Christ as a clown. And it's kind of hard to imagine the symbolism
But the clown in the circus is the one who takes all of the brunt of people's jokes. He is not a totally happy person. He falls down a lot. He takes pratfalls. People mock him. And he is constantly in trouble, one predicament after the other. Rual saw himself as a clown, but he also saw Christ as the clown in the whole circus of activity and life. Because he was embedded in the rise of expressionism, the motif of death, and not just everyday death, execution such as this one, but Christ's death became a very important subject. But death as an idea, a concept sometimes to be celebrated. This is a very cheerful painting if you just take the color. Sometimes the color of Rual is in exact opposition to the content of the or the narration of the painting. He could get vicious with his paint, and he could get extremely gentle. This is one of the, I think, one of the most lovely paintings of a sentimental nature that I have ever seen. Usually, sentimentality turns me off, but this is simply a painting of a lullaby. It's a cradle, and the figure standing there, it's kind of like lunch counter, huh? Now that you know you can expect to see Christ in every Rual painting, we must assume that Christ has entered this house and is rocking the cradle at night. And that is a neat, neat image. But once again, look how he puts on the paint. Very, very heavy. And yet, it's an amazing contradiction, one after the other. Rual's subject matter is so contradictory, and yet, and even his painting style is contradictory. At one point in his painting, it can be 2 inches thick, and right next to it, you can see the bare canvas. And you have that right here. Everything is very pasty up at the top of the painting. Very, very thick. It's like a stucco wall up there. But if you look at the right arm on your left of the Christ figure, you can see at the sleeve, the cuff at the wrist, just almost like watercolor, very, very shallowly painted and very delicate. And the cover over the baby, that blue and the blue of the sky are completely different. So Rual is sentimental. He's feeling stuff in the way he puts the paint down. This is what I mean by the contradictions. A painting like that, at one time, a beautiful lullaby with Jesus at the cradle, and this of two prostitutes, painted in the same year. Rual did, I don't know how many hundreds of paintings of prostitutes. And for some reason, they represented to him that aspect of society which was redeemable. And he would say that if the prostitute was redeemable, and they were, then even Rual could be redeemable. That's neat. He did not glorify him, though. He painted him in exactly the same style that he painted his Jesus's. He seemed to have problems with the courts, because the way he painted judges was pretty ornery. This fellow on the left, the third one, the one closest to me, looks like something from the Planet of the Apes. And they're almost cartoons. Rual did have problems with the courts, in fact. One of his dealers tried to gain control over Rual's collection and actually had a contract which Rual signed but didn't read the fine print of. And the judge awarded a great number of paintings that Rual had to the dealer. And before the dealer came to collect them, Rual burned them all. He destroyed about half of his entire output. The judge as clown. But painted in exactly the same way. There is a consistency about all of Rual's paintings that is so important. It's true of any significant artist. It's not monotony, it's that what we are looking at is the mind of the artist. This is important when you look at, quote, Christian art, unquote. That the artist who is working out of his style, out of his way of understanding how the making of things work, and not just changing it when a Jesus comes along so that he can make a Jesus thing, or when a flower comes along, he can make a flower thing, because this is not a judge, ultimately, nor are these three judges. They are all Rual's. All of these are things out of the mind of Rual, and therefore they are Rual himself. His religious stuff, I mean, his things of Jesus are, I think, so moving and tender, and at the same time, so painterly, that they are actually not just a celebration of the faith of the artist, but they're the celebration of the process of the making of art. When you look at that and realize that at any given place, you can travel in and out of the surface of the canvas and find an infinite variety of color and texture, then we are celebrating the vocation of art as well as the fact of the incarnation. The black line. Simple, bold, sometimes childlike, very direct and honest, and for every big, bold drawing that he did, he threw away about 40. Betty Olson can tell you about watercolor. You just don't do watercolors over and over and expect everyone to come out perfect, because all your mistakes are so apparent and unremovable. They just hang there as indictments. So the best thing you can do is finish it, see what you got, accept it, or throw it away. And if you're a good artist, you throw away a lot more than you accept. Toward the end of his life, a little monk who was responsible for the building of a number of churches in France, one at Audincourt, one at Assy, a couple others, asked Rual if he wouldn't actually take one of his paintings and make a stained glass window out of it. I think his paintings are better. I think his paintings are richer, the texture is more believable. I don't think glass makes Rual more believable at all. This is probably the most famous or well-recognized of all of Rual's paintings, and we want to put biblical content into this, but Rual had none intended. It's the old king. And there's a tremendous amount of pathos in this painting. The king is old, his mouth is turning in, he's stoop-shouldered, and he has no scepter. He just has a little bouquet of flowers. Now look at that. Look at the paint. It's very hard for me to tell you about how nifty paint is. For most of us, it's a thing we put on a wall with a roller
And that's not nifty at all. It drips down our arms into our armpits, and it has an obnoxious smell, gives us gas, and we can't sleep in our bedrooms for 3 nights, and that kind of thing. And that's paint. Well, it really isn't. Paint and color and texture and that kind of stuff all put down on a surface is such a joyful kind of vocation that the idea of spending your life doing that kind of thing just makes the back of my neck itch. It's too much delight to be believed. And the only thing I could do instead of telling you might be if some of you would like to come and just watch it. I'd like to paint for you sometime. Lord knows I haven't been painting for myself these days, but maybe I could paint for you. A detail of a painting from Mary and Martha, the story of Mary and Martha, and up in the upper left-hand corner, not shown on this painting, is a little flower arrangement, which is just a burst. It's as jubilant as some of the other paintings. Creates depression. High and low, he runs the full gamut of emotion. And it's not that he painted a kind of mystical bouquet for a Mary and Martha. When he painted a bouquet just for itself, it came out the same way. So the painting almost takes on a mystical character. You almost expect, because he even painted the frame, that this must be a very special bouquet. This must be a miraculous bouquet. And he painted mystical landscapes. Landscapes that look as though you would expect to find Jesus in there somewhere. And that's neat. That's got to be Jesus. We don't know why. We have just seen Rouault enough to assume that that person, or really that collection of strokes and color in the middle, is Jesus. Two disciples on the road to Emmaus? I don't know. Doesn't matter. Isn't that a spiritual event? How do you paint spiritual events? What do they look like? Things floating around in the air? Not for Rouault. Everything happened on the earth. But he celebrated it with the color. And his little black lines running like child's lines around all of his shapes. Well, I want to show you one other thing, just in closing. We talk about expressionism, and we talk about the way of seeing. And I'd like to show you those same Rouaults in a slightly different context, with slightly different wording added. Instead of me talking to you, listen to a song which I think is one of the most beautiful and sad and expressionful songs that's been written in the last years. This will tell you where my musical taste is, but I love it. And see if this explains some Rouault to you.
Mirror of love, come around. You in middle.
Thank you very much.